Okay. Morning, everyone. This is David Corus, co-chair of the Finance Committee meeting. We call the meeting to order at 10:04 a.m. Roll call in no particular order. Tom Patton,
Here.
Doug Delina,
Here.
Paul Hinch,
Here.
John Johnson,
Here.
Paul Whitescarver,
Here.
and Gabby Fesco, we expect shortly. Okay, next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from the December 7th. No, sorry. Approval of the minutes of the December 16th Finance Committee meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Tom, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Paul Hinch. Any questions, comments, or requested changes? All right, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? And you, okay, John Johnson abstains. Thank you. Public comment. Any members of the public? None here. Paula, I don't expect you're making public comment today. Right, we'll move on to financial update. First item is the finance report, and today I'll hand it over to you.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning. Good morning.
I'm going to break into the statement of revenue and expenditure for the 6 months to December 31st, 2024. Revenue from general operations, $1.5 million, consisting mainly of $1 million from the new lease and $4,000 from the accessible revenue from Gateway. We are still awaiting the second quarter for the Gateway accessible revenue. Expenditure from general operations, $908,000, consisting mainly of $368,000 from salaries and benefits and $299,000 from contractual services. That leaves operating surplus before depreciation and amortization of $640,000. Then we have depreciation of $2.9 million and amortization of $214,000, leaving an operating loss after depreciation and amortization of $2.5 million. Revenue from non-operating activities, $3.2 million, which consists mainly of the $2.2 million received from NEO in 2024. And we have non-operating expenditure of $717,000. Change in net position from non-operating $2.5 million, and a total change in net position of minus $7,700. Any questions on the revenue and expenditure? Moving on to pages two and three, which show the details that contribute to the revenue and expenditure. Any questions on pages two and three? Jumping to the balance sheet on page four. We have assets, current assets amounting to $27.8 million, which mainly consists of restricted cash, which is held at Webster and the bond accounts, $21.7 million, cash and cash equivalents of $1.2 million, and investments of $3 million. And the short-term lease receivable of $1.7 million. Non-current assets, $306 million. Total assets of $333.9 million. We have the deferred outflow resources, which results from our pension and OPEB of $850,000.
Okay, let's talk about this for a second. So this is what we were talking about, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we now have to account for our cumulative post-employment pension and healthcare liability
Okay.
associated with all of our employees
Since inception.
since inception, but that is never an expense that we will incur because that is owned by the comptroller's office.
Correct, but I'm putting a pause there because I am verifying something with our HR.
Okay.
Just to confirm the liability portion.
Okay.
So that is something I would like to get back to the board and the finance committee on.
Let me take a step back and make sure. So I'll try and explain this because I think I understand it, but correct me if this is wrong, right? So every employee that we have and have ever had, every time they get paid, they put a portion of their check into
Correct.
the state employee pension system and post-employment healthcare system with the comptroller's office. And every time they get paid, the Port Authority has made a contribution to that account.
Correct.
That money sits with the comptroller's office, and should those employees become vested and entitled to a post-employment benefit, pension, and healthcare, they will be paid out of that account that we don't hold.
Correct.
This is the amount of potential
Liability.
liability associated with that account, which theoretically, should it ever be exercised, would be paid for out of that account by the comptroller's office at the time at which it's due.
Correct. We ran into this with CRDA.
Yeah.
It's just
But this is
an
the amount.
interpretation of how the GASB has interpreted it
Right.
recently. Yes. And
Well,
so this
and
would
every
be.
municipality has this on their books too.
Right.
From the
They've always had it. They've always.
since the
So,
gas.
but I don't understand why it's a liability on our balance sheet if it really isn't a liability.
It doesn't make any
It
sense,
doesn't.
but it is the
Yeah.
interpretation.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, the only way that I could think that the only way that it makes sense to me is in a uber abundance of caution. Should the comptroller's office or the state retirement account that we have contributed to on behalf of our employees and our employees have contributed to, should that go defunct
Default.
and default, we would be obligated to pay this benefit that our employees are contractually entitled to.
Yeah,
I mean, it's absurd, right? It's obviously never going to happen,
yeah.
but that's the only way that I can wrap my head around it, is this is a benefit that the employees are entitled to. That is a they have the contract with us that defines those benefits. And so we're recording it as like a backstop against.
Well, but hold on though. Maybe I don't fully understand this. So, Faye, every time we pay payroll, there is a portion of it that goes to pension and OPEB, right?
Significant.
Well, this is a part that I have to confirm here because from history, well, from what I can see, the portion for the CPA has not been paid to the state. That has always been deducted. So that is where the liability portion has to come
Say that
from.
again.
Wait, say
The
that again. It has not, it has not been paid. It's accumulated.
has not been paid. It has always been
What
deducted
does that
from
mean,
the
deduct?
fringe, which means it has not been paid to the state. So that's where I need to tie up with
Well,
the
but then
HR.
what is the fringe? What is all that money? I mean, the amount that we pay.
There's a portion that has been deducted, and that's where I need to validate.
Wait, so we truly have a $3.1 million liability?
Tom, that's why. Please don't jump ahead here. Let me continue before.
But like this seems, I mean, to me, if we look at our actual 195,000 in salary and 147 in fringe,
Yes, it is a
that's our
portion.
full contribution.
There's a portion that I would like to validate
Okay.
first
Okay.
before
Okay.
I then
All right. So
confirm.
it's not, you're validating whether the total, there
Yes,
might be some
there's a
delta,
portion, yes.
but we're clearly putting something
Yes.
significant into
And
that.
the change was you didn't include any of this before as a liability.
Right.
Now we have to.
Have to, yes.
And actually CRDA got dinged on their audit because they hadn't done it, but nobody knew that you had to do it
Yeah.
at that time.
Yeah.
So
And we're
it's strange.
outside of whatever the money path is from payments
Yeah.
or deductions or whatever, every town in Connecticut accounts for the municipal employee retirement system in a similar fashion. And it becomes background or boilerplate information to the people looking at the audit
Yeah.
report because it doesn't really impact the town's
Right.
operation, right?
Right. It gives it, it provides a level of transparency by breaking out from the comptroller's cumulative accounting. So if people are interested in
Where the
what the
liability is.
lifetime liabilities are associated with our employment, this is a place they can look to see it. But it's misleading for sure. You have any other further questions or comments on that?
No, I think I get it. I think it, we understand. So it's a it truly is. It's a non-current liability, and it's fundamentally a contingent liability that probably will never be realized.
Yeah. I think
So
that's
it's
right.
a yeah.
You're back from Faye on this nuance.
Okay.
So if that's the case, we would have to make that contribution to the
Correct.
state for past contributions not made.
Correct.
Okay.
So just let me validate that, but everything else that has been explained is correct.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And so one more question, Faye. If you could just scroll down a little bit on your screen to the total liabilities there, right? Freeze right there. So the other OPEB of 518, tell me what that is and how's that different from the non-current liabilities listed above that number?
The 518,000 as opposed to the so this bear with me, Tom. I don't have the exact flow. So it's similar to the amortization of the resources where you have the benefit portion and you have the liability portion, the benefit meaning to the employees and the liability to the payout portion. So the full inflow of resources will net off against the I'm terrible at describing this.
It's like designed to be
No.
confusing.
Is it in non-current liabilities?
Tom, let me get back to you, please.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you, Faye.
Back to you with the whole OPEB and pension. So jumping to current liabilities, we have 8.9 million, which consists mainly of the 7 million held for Kiewit, construction payable of 694,000. Non-current liabilities, 6.8 million, consisting mainly of the 3.6 for the lease liability. This is for the Seabrook and for the
NCR.
NECR track lease. And we have the net pension and the net OPEB liabilities to which I will get back to you on. Deferred inflow of resources, 15.9 million, which consists mainly of the sub-lease agreement for NEO and Ørsted, 15.3 million, and the pension of 68,000 and OPEB 518,000. Net assets as of 31st
Are
December,
those, sorry,
3.2,
Faye, the deferred inflow? I mean, is that like, maybe we're always going to see a year's worth of contributions associated with like current payroll or something.
So that is the benefit of the. So if I had to compare it to deferred, so the lease, this is an asset that CPAO is recording, and this is the lead benefit of that asset, of owning that asset. That is a portion that we'll be receiving in excess of.
Our contributions.
No, not all contribute. This is for Neo and Austin.
No. I was talking about the pension part.
So I'm trying to
Oh,
compare it
compare.
to
Okay.
that.
Sorry.
This is the delayed benefit of that. So the pension plan and the OPEB, it's after the actuaries perform their fund analysis at
Yeah.
the end of the fiscal year. There's a gain and there's a loss portion of each fund,
Yeah.
and that is where the deferred
So
inflow.
is the deferred inflow saying that the contributions that we've made and the interest that they're growing is not going to be enough to cover the pension obligations? And so the state is going to make up the difference,
So
and this
that
is the
it's the
difference.
opposite. So
It's the
that's the
opposite.
deferred outflow. So the deferred inflow is when the it has exceeded its obligations,
Okay.
and this is the portion that is applied to future the
Okay.
future fund.
Okay. So this year the money did really well. And so it did better than expected.
Expected.
And so there's a little bit that's kind of spilling over,
To
offset future
yes, and the deferred
obligations.
outflow is the opposite.
Yeah.
Yes,
That's good.
and yeah, very.
Yeah.
But
It just seems, it's
it's
just,
when the fund performs better and when it's when the fund performs worse.
yeah, understood. I mean, it just makes it all more ridiculous that we're trying to account for our little slice of it. That may
Yes,
be
no.
true. Yeah.
Any additional questions on balance sheet that's not on the presentation? Moving on to page five.
When do we expect quarter two accounting? This month, right?
I'm hoping
Sometime
by the end of this week we
week.
receive it. Page six, statements of cash flow. Cash flows from operating activities, 93,000. Cash flow from capital and related financing activities, an outflow of 618,000. Cash flow from investing activities, 277,000, which results in a net change in cash equivalents and restricted cash of 247,000. Cash equivalents and restricted cash as of December 31st, 2024, 25.9 million.
Up higher, Faye, cash payments for employees. That seems really low, right? So with that's not supposed to be 6 months of.
So that is only the difference that we pay in excess of what was received from DOT,
Ah, got it, got it.
the
Okay.
net.
Yeah, got it. All right, that makes sense. Thank you. So we don't see on here yet the obligation to repay core.
The obligation to repeat.
Or is that what this is? This is how much CORE has spent on payroll expenses beyond the 400.
The 178 or 173.
Yeah.
That is how much the music for the state.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is at December 31st. Yeah. This is what CPE would have paid in the excess of what was received.
Okay, so this is what we would, this is the amount, if the fiscal year ended tomorrow, this is how much we would have to cut a check to the state for.
No, this is how much we actually cut a check already for. So this is separate from any arrears. As of December 31st, there was no balance due to the state in excess of what they paid or what was received from DOT.
Okay. But we only do that once a year, right?
No, so we have been paying it quarterly
that.
Now.
Oh, okay. I
didn't
before
we used to pay it at the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now we're doing it on a quarterly basis.
Okay, I didn't realize
so
that.
How much has accumulated at the end of each quarter, net what was received from DOT? That's what we pay. So this would have been the portion as of. It varies if not.
Yeah, based on payroll time.
So at the end of December 31st, there was not a balance due because DOT paid an additional 80,000 during that period, and then staff course was not.
Yeah, got it.
And then you said 400, but
the full 400 has
been
received.
Yeah, right. Right.
So about 316. Well, as of today's date.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, got it. Yeah, so it's another hard one to kind of track because it's the money's flowing in quarterly. It doesn't cover all of our expenses. The money's flowing out by payroll period. And so this is just tracking the delta between those, not really anything more meaningful than that. Okay.
Is that something we would ever, because we've always gotten 400 from the state.
I wouldn't expect it from now on.
Right. That was my point. Mm-hmm. Now that we're getting revenue.
Yeah. I would be very surprised.
You won't be getting it.
Yeah.
This is confirmation from
Paul. You won't be getting
it.
Yeah.
We don't expect
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
We didn't expect it after this fiscal year. I mean, there was even some discussion this year and we fought to kind of get our full appropriation that was budgeted for, but we did not expect it to be included in the next budget.
Is there confirmation that is normally given for?
You'll see
or
it next week. The full confirmation will be when the budget comes out in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And you'll see it in writing.
We're going to budget to receive $1 of it next year. And if they take it away, it won't bother us.
Okay.
Right.
Keep it in. For a dollar.
Is that something you would let us know about?
That's
easy. It's always
Mike, that was awfully optimistic.
Thank you. It's very difficult. Obviously, we're in budget season, right? So, could somebody jump in and say, no, give it to them? Yeah, they could. But the proposal is that it would disappear as it should at this point. Yeah.
There's not a long line of people fighting for to keep it as much. No.
Well, I don't think, there are. And I don't think anyone think there's a need to at this point.
Yeah, we don't have a basis for retaining that
money. Right. So I think it's unless somebody has a problem with it, I think it would just go through the system as being taken out.
And personally, I actually think we should celebrate it. And like
absolutely.
We should own it.
Right. Yeah,
we should make a big deal out of it.
It's good news.
We shouldn't act surprised like, oh, the state pulled the rug out from us. We should say,
I think we should tell
as
the state,
planned.
Thank
let's,
you.
Let's
and,
take
and,
that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As planned, our vision has come to fruition and we no longer need that.
Always wanted this to be self-sufficient.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can stand on our own 2 feet.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So given that, is it something we should send somebody a letter saying, we're self-sufficient. We no longer need your money.
I would just time a press release for.
Oh, right. Sure.
Is it the 7th or the 5th? What's the when? When's it come out?
I think it's the 7th. So I have to confirm.
Yeah, I would just prepare a press release for that day. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's positive. Yeah. Positive news.
Moving on to Core CT, page 7. This shows the movements in all the projects, funding for the projects that have been utilized. So 609,000 have been paid to date for these, up to December 31st, 2024.
So just so you know, the Groton Thames dock is in, and they should be requesting funds from you. Okay. Yep. Only took a decade.
So there's a balance of 16.3 million of funding remaining in Core CT. And moving on to page 8, analysis of funding of the HDE as of December 31st. Total project funding 311.35 million, HDE escrow interest 2 million, and total cost 311.833 million. Remaining available funding 1.5 million.
What did we decide, Faye, on the timing of recording the interest? Are we just going to do it at the end of each fiscal year?
At the end of each period. When you say recording the interest.
Like, you know, we talked a lot about like when we would start showing it on here, mm-hmm. right? So we have the interest. But here it's through December. Oh, it's through December. Oh, sorry. I was looking at December 31st and my brain was telling me June 30th. Got it. Okay, cool.
But the figure would not change drastically.
No, not anymore. Yeah, no, I know. Not anymore. It's not growing. Like,
yeah, so that's why you'll see yeah. 2 million and yeah. 2 million.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Anyone else have questions or comments on anything in the report?
So the question came up, Faye, before you sat down, you know, what's the total amount we're withholding from Kiewit, which is in this soft?
The 7 million.
No, it's not in the soft. Yeah.
So if you look on the balance sheet.
Already said all the
keywords. Yeah, you're ahead of me.
Where is it on the balance sheet?
And as mentioned, I will get a complete OPEB and pension response for you for the next meeting.
All right, moving on to the quarterly report to OFA.
Quarterly financial status report for the quarter ended December 31st, 2024. The general operations balance as of start of period. We have both quarterly and for the 6 months. We have the funds received during the period, total to date, 1.7 million. Expenditure paid during the period, 623,000. And the funds allocated for the NCREs, this is with regards to the escrow amendment, the CPA will be contributing that from years 8 to 12, 1 year each period until the 5 years are covered. And so those funds were apportioned out of the general operations. So funding available as of December 31st, 4.227 million. That will total from your balance sheet, the funds held in general operations, as well as in your investments. The funds from DOT and core appropriation for salaries and benefits. Balance as of the start of the period, zero. Funds received for the period, 280,000. Expenditure for the period, 414,703. Funding available, zero.
So why doesn't that delta between the 280 and the 414 match that number we were talking about before, the 70, whatever?
So the PMS will match when the timing was closed, the period was closed. It may not have been made exactly as of December 31st based on the payroll period.
Yeah, got it. Okay, so it's just a difference between
when
accounting for the quarter versus the actual payroll processing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And for core bond projects, this will reflect as well what is on page 7 of the report, the movement in the funding. So balance as of start of period for the 6 months, 16,996. Allocations received for the period 0, and expenditure for the period 609,000. And funding available as of December 31st, 16.386. And then the New London State Fair project as of December 31st, which reflects what is on page 8 as well of the financial report. Total funding received for 11.35 million. Interest transferred 2 million, which is 313.4. Then we have the total cost, 311.833, and the funding available, 1.578.
Any questions on that before we move on to the budget amendments?
No, I have none.
All right, budget amendments. Oh, maybe before I, so I'll read a resolution listing all of them, but maybe first, let's just have a question and answer. If anyone has any, I don't want to read them and then discuss. Let's see if anyone has questions about any of these.
Okay.
In general, it's a shifting from salary and benefit lines that are not going to be needed because of lags in staffing to a variety of lines where additional funds are needed. And maybe I don't know if there's anything more that you want to say to that. I mean, there's plenty of notes.
Yeah.
Folks can just ask questions, I guess, if you have on any of those, and then I'll read out the full list.
Yeah, just remind me, what was the total amount that we allocated to the workforce development?
Not to exceed 150,000.
150. Okay, thank you.
Any other items you want to ask about before I read the resolution? There'll be an opportunity to discuss if you think of something, but that's before I go through that.
Nothing other. It's nice to see the legal fees.
Was that on the legal fees? Is that just a reflection? We didn't happen to need legal services to the degree that we budgeted for this time around, you know, this year?
Yeah. Yeah, and we'd be just a reminder on that. So we were not just overly conservative we were not just appropriately conservative, but we also had to shift. For a long time, we paid our state peer-oriented legal expenses out of bond funds, which we ultimately exhausted after 5 years or so of using them for that and other purposes. And so this was also a shift of potential anticipated state peer legal expenses above and beyond our typical outside legal or external legal expenses, e.g. FOIA, lawsuits, etc.
And just to add to what David said, it's not just the use of the funds, but with the state peer becoming active, the funds are now, the costs were now general operations.
So, got to ask the question, right? Given that we might have a legal requirement moving forward to finish this thing,
yeah.
Do we want to reduce it to 240?
I think for the remaining of
how
the
much have we expect?
Period, considering it's just 6 more months, I think we should be safe. I don't think we should exceed that within 6 months.
We've only spent 46 okay. so far, so that leaves us a couple hundred thousand.
That within 6 months.
Yeah, and it was the investigations that really sucked up a lot of those fees.
Yes. Yeah, but as Paul says, that might...
We're anticipating...
Less?
Hopefully. Yeah. Oh, but it'll shift to potential litigation around the project.
Yeah.
We'll eat up that allowance pretty quick.
Yeah.
We'll do it in middle court.
Could you remind me what that bump up of 12,000 in insurance is?
So if you go on page 8, definitely on page note 8, sorry. So the board approved 102,000 for the fiscal year, well, for the period December 31st, 24 to December 31st, 2025. But because there's an overlap in the two portions, in the two the fiscal year and the period of insurance.
So next year we should budget half a year at some level of escalation.
Yes.
To give us a little cushion. Yeah, I used to run into this somewhere.
And the other, it was the unknown in terms of the peer becoming active. We thought the cost would have been less. It did not turn out that way.
Well, thank you.
Right. We thought Gateway's insurance obligations would supplant the need from some of ours, but that was not the case. Okay. So I'm going to read a resolution here. So resolve that the following budget modifications be approved for implementation by staff. A reduction in account 50100 salary from 557127 to 507127 for a change of negative 50,000. Reduction of 5300 fringe benefits from 462415 to 412415 for a reduction of 50,000. An increase in 5410 OPEB. Other post-employment benefits from 0 to 18,000 for a change of 18,000, an increase in 5420 in pension SERS state employee retirement system from 0 to 8,000 for a change of 8,000, a reduction in 51100 contractual services audit from 65,000 to 60,000 for a reduction of 5,000. An increase in 51300 contractual services for communications outreach and sponsorship from 100 to 210 for a change in 110,000. A increase in 51730 for a mileage reimbursement from 2,000 to 6,000 for a change of 4,000. An increase in 51740 lodging from 3,000 to 6,000 for a change of 3,000, an increase in 52601 utilities for New London State Pier from 5,000 to 15,000 for a change of 10,000, an increase in 52652 insurance from 100,000 to 112,000 for a change of 12,000, and a decrease in 51602 legal fees external from 300,000 to 240 for a decrease of 60,000 for a net change of $0, resulting in a projected depreciation. This is a projected surplus, right? Yeah.
The one place.
Yeah.
No, this is the surplus, the in terms of the existing budget of 1.622 prior to depreciation and amortization.
Yes. Okay. Projected, resulting in a projected year-end surplus of 1,622,153 prior to the calculation of depreciation and amortization. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Gaffney. Any further discussion, questions, comments? All right, all those approved. Indicators say aye.
Aye.
Yay.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. And finally, the annual financial report. Okay. This is for last fiscal year.
Up to June 30th, 2024.
How do we want to do this? I know we don't want to go page by page. I mean, this is a summary of all of our expenditures. There are certain thresholds statutorily set where we have to account, where we have to report on any expenditures over a certain amount. There's some narrative about staffing, making sure that we're in compliance with affirmative action policies. There's a narrative summary of activities related to our large expenditures, including State Pier, including dredging, including SHIP, including Pier 7, and then there's our audited financials as an attachment. I don't think there's anything new in here that we have never seen or discussed before. It's just packaged in a way that's statutorily required.
I think it really is an excellent report. Who is a principal author? Was that you, Paul, or who did this?
So it's Jill, a team effort between Jill, these are the office between Jill and I.
Yeah, it's very good.
Agree.
With that, I'll entertain a motion to, would this be, actually the last one was probably recommend approval for the board, so we didn't technically approve those budget amendments. I'll just note for the record that we recommended it for approval. I should also probably note for the record that Gaffney joined us before that vote. He was here to vote on that, on the quarterly report and the budget modifications. And I'll entertain a motion to recommend to the board the approval of the fiscal 24 annual financial report for submission. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second by Doug. Any further questions, comments, or discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimously. Any old business that anyone would like to raise? Any new business? All right, hearing none, motion to adjourn. Moved by John, second.
Second
by Paul Hinch. Meeting is adjourned at 10:47. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you at noon.